Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Man, we appreciate you guys being here. My name's Bobby, if I haven't got to meet you yet. And man, we're excited about today. We're entering, for many, into the greatest, most wonderful time of the year. How many of you, Christmas is your jam? Like, it is your thing. You love this time of year, all right? Anybody, like, you're mad because Thanksgiving's over? Anybody a little upset about that? All right, a couple of us? Yeah, all right, I agree. Well, I think that you know, Christmas is just a wonderful time. You know, it's this time that the world celebrates Jesus. And as hard as the world tried to kind of push Jesus out, we keep doing it every year. And I love it. We keep having Christmas and we celebrate it. And thousands of years after Jesus was born, we're able to celebrate him. And so I think this is a great season. If you're a regular attender here at City Hope, I want to encourage you in one thing. Use this time to invite people. This is a time when people start thinking about Jesus, and that just kind of comes into our lives, and it's on TV, it's on the radio, it's everywhere, and you never know how one invitation might change someone's life. And so use this opportunity to invite people. We're kicking off a new series, and we do this on purpose, called Christmas at the Movies. And it's just a series where we kind of combine faith and film, and we look at different lessons we can learn from all the old Christmas movies, really just any kind of movies. I know my girls, they love watching Hallmark movies that all end the same way. They all end in the exact same way. We know how it's going to happen. But they love those movies and all the old Christmas movies that we watch. And so we're just going to have some fun with that over the next few weeks, and just look at really what we're doing is we're looking at different character traits of Jesus, how we can kind of see those in some films, and then what Jesus tells us to do with those things. And so we like to have a little bit of fun with this, and it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. How many of you love movies? Anybody love watching movies? By the way, that little commercial you've seen, that's going to be in the movie theaters for the next month, all right? And so these guys are representing City Hope Church for the next month of our lives. If nobody comes to Christmas, we know why. No, I kid. I'm kidding. But there's so many great movies going, and they'll start coming on TV now. And today we're going to look at a movie called The Greatest Showman. The Greatest Showman. Anybody ever seen that movie? How many of you guys have seen that, all right? If you're like my kids, the first thing they said, Dad, it's not a Christmas movie. I know it's not a Christmas movie, but there's so many great lessons from this movie, and it's going to be awesome. So if you've never seen it, there's going to be a little bit of spoilers in here today. I had a family tell me after church that they were going to go home and watch it, but now they know. So sorry about that. But this film, it's kind of loosely based on a true story. A gentleman named P.T. Barnum, he was, this movie's a musical, but he was a businessman. He was a creative guy. And what he ended up doing is founding Barnum and Bailey Circus, right? Anybody ever been to the circus? We got some cotton candy today for you. If you didn't get one, this is because I think that's what they give out at the circus. Do they still have the circus today? Is that still a thing? I don't know. Maybe they do. But there's so many lessons that stood out. And I want to just look at two specific things today. We're going to watch a couple clips. But P.T. Barnum, he was full of ideas. He was full of creativity, just one of those people that always had something going, always, you know, looked at the bright side. So he opened up this museum called the Barnum's American Museum of Curiosity, right? And so there was all these different, you know, wax figures. And think of today what we call Ripley's Believe It or Not. He opens up this museum and all of these things. Well, the only thing is no one showed up to his museum. He opened it up, but nobody came. And so what we're going to see here at the beginning, this first clip, as they're opening up this new place, his daughters one night inspired him. They gave him some ideas to think a little bit differently. And what it did, it's changed his perspective on how he looked at people. And so let's watch this first clip together.
Welcome to the Barn Museum. It is 1 hour of your time, sir, but it will change your life. We have those on the hour every hour.
Don't leave off with a faint of heart.
I can tell you're going to love it. Half price for anyone who's wearing a hat. Oh, that's you, sir. Welcome to the Barn and Museum.
Garbage. Welcome to the Barn Museum, where everyone's
How many special. Tickets?
Three.
Three.
In your museum, Daddy.
Do you?
She's right. You need something alive.
Go to sleep, both of you.
Something sensational.
That's a big word.
It's your word.
Something that isn't stuffed.
Like a mermaid.
Or a unicorn.
Unicorns aren't real.
Well, mermaids aren't real either.
You must be Gertrude Strand. I'm looking for your son.
I don't have a son.
The hospital record says you do. Charles, right? Age 22?
Charles! Charles!
T. Barnum, at your service. I am putting together a show, and I need a star.
You want people to laugh at me?
Well, they're laughing anyway, kid, so might as well get paid. I see a soldier. No, a general. Riding across the stage with a sword and a gun and the most beautiful uniform ever made. People will come from all over the world, and when they see him, they won't laugh. They'll salute.
How's it looking, girls?
Hey, you looking for freaks? I know where you can find one of them.
Really?
Come on, girls.
Hello.
Sir, you shouldn't be here.
I'm sorry. Who's doing this singing? You, isn't it?
Sir, I have to ask you to leave.
You are so talented, blessed. Extraordinary. Unique. I would even say beautiful.
Sir, please leave me alone.
They don't understand, but they will.
So we see something kind of different begins to happen here. He begins to go into his, you know, business venture, his creative mind, in just kind of a different way. And really what it all started with, he started viewing people differently than the way everybody else viewed them. Barnum started going against culture, the people that were outcasts, the people that were socially unacceptable in their culture. He started seeing them different and he started treating them in a different way. He began to value the people that most people, you know, threw out to the pasture. Most people, you know, outcasted them. And he started seeing gifts in them. He started seeing something inside of them. He gave them a platform. And here in a minute, you'll see he gave them joy, gave them success. He gave them purpose in their life. Well, I was thinking about this movie. There's two passages of scripture that really came out that I think I want to hit today just for a few minutes. And the first one is found in Romans chapter 13. Now remember, all of these movies that we're going to go through, it's not about the movies. It's some of these character traits that Jesus gives you and I. As followers of Christ, the things that he calls you and I to live and things that he calls you and I to be about. Well, this is one of those things that's at the very, very top of the list. In Romans chapter 13, the Bible says this. Do not owe anyone anything. And then look at this. Except to love one another. The only thing as a Christian, the only thing as a believer that you need to owe, that you owe the world, is to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and other commandment, and any other commandment, are summed up by this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. You see, the way that Jesus calls us to treat people is different than the way the world calls us to treat people, right? The world says, if you're different, then build some boundaries, build some borders. You know, don't allow those people in. Don't go to those places. Don't associate with those people. But Jesus calls us to love the people that are different from the rest of the world in ways that are different from the rest of the world. So when we love the people who are hard to love, when we love the people who we don't even want to love, that we don't even like, what we're doing is we're fulfilling this command that God gave us. There's so many examples of this in scripture. And Jesus, as he walked the earth some 2,000 years ago, you know, gave us a movie to watch. He gave us his life to look at, to mimic, to go, all right, I don't know if I can do this, so how do I do this? And there's one story in particular that I want to look at, but it all falls kind of on this one thought this morning for this number one, it is this, love without borders. How can I love without borders? How can we as a family love without borders? If Jesus did it, and that's what he calls me to as a Christian. Now remember, this isn't a suggestion. This isn't just something that, oh man, if you feel like it. If I claim to know Jesus, if I claim to know God and Christ is my Savior, then he calls me to love people the way that he loved people. So how did he love people? Let me show you an example of this in Mark chapter 2. Each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, kind of give this firsthand account of how they saw Jesus' life. And look what happens when Mark tells us his story in Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. Then passing by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. While he was reclining at the table in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Jesus, and his disciples were there, were many who were following him. Now let me pause right here. Remember this. Tax collectors were the worst of the worst. They were if there was a list, they were at the top of sinners. Tax collectors were bad, bad people. And the Bible says that he not only went into the tax office, but then he went to the tax collector's house and he was sitting with many tax collectors. Many people who the society cast them out. We don't like them. They're horrible people. We don't want to be with them. And the Bible says he sat with many tax collectors and many sinners. But look what happens. Verse 16. When the scribes who were Pharisees, now these are the religious people. These are the elites. They're the ones that go to church and they got the Bible memorized. These are the people who claim to love God. When they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, It is not those who are well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. You see, just like P.T. Barnum did in the movie, Jesus always looked out for the unique. He always looked out for the outcast, the one that didn't seem to fit in, the one that everybody else said, I don't want to be around him. And the religious people, what did they always do? They always kind of shunned those people. They're not like us. They don't dress like us. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. So we're not going to hang around with them. And the religious elite always did that. Those people who weren't close to God, they kind of pushed them away. And Jesus, he spoke with love. He spoke with compassion towards the one that was far away, towards the one that was trapped in their sin, towards the one that nobody else wanted to be. What did he do? He loved them. And he built relationships with them. And he invited them into a relationship with him. And he invited them to have freedom from their sins. How did he do this? He did this with gentleness. He did this with humility. But ultimately, he did it with love. Now, let's get real for a minute. It's probably easier for many of us to build walls, to build borders with people that we disagree with. It's probably pretty easy for you. Yeah, I'm just not gonna talk to you. I'm not gonna hang around with you. I've got my side, you've got your side. We'll just stay on our separate sides. It's a lot easier to do that if we're honest. But I believe with all of my heart that the church has to lead the way in this. If we're gonna be people who God calls us to be, we have to lead the way in loving people the way that God calls us to, in seeing people for who they are. And I want you to remember this: different doesn't mean we disconnect. Different does not mean we disconnect. If you are a follower of Christ, you are held to a high standard. It's not a suggestion. It is a command that we participate in tearing down borders and tearing down walls. We don't participate in wall building. You're called and you're empowered by God. Now, how can I love somebody so much that I disagree with them, don't like them, they're nothing like me? How do I love that kind of person? Like, really, how do I do that? Well, I think what we have to understand, and if you come back to this place, it'll help you, is that Jesus loved you first. With all of your sin and all of your baggage and all of your different. Now, you may not be a bearded lady, all right, but you have different in your life. You have things in your life that if everyone saw, they would be, right? I have things in my life that, like, really? And every one of us have to get back to this place where we remember, well, if Jesus can love me, then I can love them. If Jesus can do that for me, then I can go out and I can love them. But here's another thing. Like, it's probably easier for us to love somebody different if they're like a coworker or a teammate or, you know, somebody in our neighborhood. It's easier to love someone that we don't know. I would say the hardest people to love is our family. The person in our family that we totally disagree with, the person in our family that we're constantly shaking our head at and rolling our eyes over, or you know, we read something that they post or something that they say, some text that they send, and we're like, really, again? And we shake our head time and time again. And maybe this year, for it to be the most wonderful time of the year, it's gonna take you loving someone in your family without borders. Maybe this year, I had a guy that I worked with for years and years and years at another church. And every single year he would tell us, and I haven't talked to my brother. And for 25 years, he hadn't spoke to his brother. And every year we're like, hey, Mark, have you talked to him? Why don't you call him? Hey, let's pray about this. Nope. And to this day, I still don't know if they've talked. And maybe you have some kind of relationship like that in your life. And maybe your prayer this Christmas, the thing that you need most this Christmas is, Lord, how can I love them without borders? How can I love them the way that you've called me to love? God, the way that you love me, the way that you sent Jesus to die for me. We're gonna celebrate the birth of Jesus here in just a few weeks, right? The way that you loved me, God, how can I love them without borders? How can I help them? Maybe it's time for you right now to step up in your life and make the commitment that you're going to obey this command. Not because they deserve it, because it's what God's called you to do. So I think P.T. Barnum here, he teaches us a great lesson. He teaches us that, that see people the way that God sees people, and everybody has a plan and everybody has a purpose, and it takes love. But Barnum has a dream here. He's a creative guy, he's a thinker, and he keeps trying to bring this dream to life. But here's what we see. Not everyone likes his dream. Not everyone's going to agree with his dream. As a matter of fact, there's some enemies to his dream. Let's watch this clip.
You, tell everyone how much fun you had at the circus. New acts every night.
Hey, ringmaster.
Gentlemen, gonna have to ask you to leave.
This is our town, son. We think you should leave. You and your freaks and your spooks.
Sir, I will only ask once more.
Then what, boy?
Oh, you've gone so much. Stop it.
Oh. What made you decide to come back early?
I missed you.
That sounds an awful lot like hum to hum.
Hurry! It's coming from the circus! Run! Fire!
Go, stay with me. Stay with me. Come quick with me.
Smoke. He's still breathing. Come on.
Let's get him on.
Not everyone understands the things that God does in your life. As a matter of fact, you have an enemy that does not want you to love well. You have an enemy that does not want you to live out your purpose that God's given you. And here's what I believe this morning, church. Everybody in this room, whether you're a church person or you're a God person or not, whether you're young or old, God has given us all a purpose and a plan. He's given every single one of you something inside of you that you have a reason for living. And I pray that you know what that is. And I pray that you figure out what that is and you understand what that is. But the truth is the enemy does not want you to succeed. Just like P.T. Barnum had a dream, there were people that didn't like his dream. There was people that was fighting against him. As a matter of fact, they burned down his dream. And maybe that's where you sit this morning. You've been reading for years. You've been praying for years. You've been trying for years. You've been struggling. But the enemy, he's doing all that he can to distract you and to distort the truth in your life and to cast doubt over you. And I want to encourage somebody here this morning, because maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like you just can't get it right. And you feel like, man, I just need to give up. Every time I try, it's just crash and burn. Every time I do something. And I want to just encourage you this morning. Don't give up. Don't give up. The person who prevails is the person who refuses to give up. The person who succeeds is the person who refuses to give up. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job title, whether it's just a goal, a dream that God's put in your heart, whatever it is, don't give up. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. This is a massive, massive verse for us. This is a really big deal, because I think for those of you that feel like those people did outside looking at the building as it's on fire, if you're sitting here this morning and that's how you feel in your soul, this is Jesus talking to you. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The reason God sent his son Jesus that we're gonna celebrate here in just a few weeks, we're gonna celebrate his birth. The reason he came is to be able to, you and I, to walk up to him and give him our burdens. And he says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm lowly and I'm humble in heart. And look at this, you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find rest for your soul. Some of you right now in this room, you've been fighting for so long against sin, against hurt, against struggle, and you feel like your life is just burned down. You feel like it's over and I can't do it anymore. And Jesus is calling out and he's saying, find rest in me. I'll give you rest. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Church, the thing in front of you may feel like it's burnt to the ground, but my God can make beauty from ashes. The Bible says that he can take my test and turn it into a testimony. He can take my mess and make it a message. He can take my brokenness and he can provide healing. That's who Jesus is. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we have the ability to have joy in the midst of all the chaos in the world, because we serve a God who can turn it all around. I heard this quote. It says, you're not a failure for falling down. You're only a failure when you stay down. We're all gonna fall. We're all gonna fail. We're all gonna have times in our life where we struggle. But the thing is, we gotta keep getting up. We gotta keep getting up. You don't stay down. You don't give up. You stay course, you keep praying, you keep pushing, you keep going forward, keep showing up. Somebody here this morning, somebody, the reason why you came to church today is because you need to know it's okay. You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. You may not be who you ought to be. You may not even be who you want to be, but you're not who you used to be. And God has a plan for you in your life. And I just want to speak this over you by the grace of God. Don't quit. Do not give up. Listen to what John says in John chapter 16. This is Jesus's word to you and I. Look how powerful this. I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured and deeply at peace. Isn't that what we all want? At the end of the day, I want to lay my head down on the pillow and be deeply at peace with my God. I want to be deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. Jesus is telling you and I, you're gonna have struggles. There's gonna be burnt down seasons. There's gonna be people who don't believe in you. There's gonna be enemies fighting against your purpose. But trust in me, because I will give you deep peace. I will give you victory. I believe this, church. Part of our role as a church, part of my role as a pastor, is to help people figure out who God created you to be. I so desperately want you to live every single day in your purpose that God's given you. We're all different, and that's what's so great about a church. We are all different, and we all have different strengths, and we all have different weaknesses, and we all have different places. And that's why God created the church, so we could come together and help each other find our purpose and use it for his glory. The things he calls you to matter. The things that God put in your heart matters. The things that bring joy to your life matters. Not to make a name for yourself, but to make him known and to give him honor and glory. I look at it like this. Maybe you're here this morning and again, you see the burnt down. You see it crumbling. You see it's on fire. The enemy's been fighting and right now you feel like he's winning. But let me just tell you this. If you're still alive, God's not done with you. If you're still breathing, God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. And so often, and this is great, we go to different places. We go to the radio sometimes for encouragement. We go to church sometimes. We go to the pastor. We go to the Bible. Here's what I want to encourage you to do, a little step that you can take. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Take a step this week. Take a step today and encourage yourself in the Lord. Go to these scriptures that I've given you today and just say, God, I'm casting all of my cares on you. I'm heavy, I'm burdened, I'm weary. And your word says, if I cast it onto you, that you'll give me rest. You'll give me a deep peace. And God, that's what I need today. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in whatever season you're going through. I've tried it and I keep failing. I keep sinning. I keep falling down. Well, it's time to get back up. We don't stay down. We get back up. So whether it's a broken relationship or a calling that God's put on your heart that maybe you've given up on, there always comes a time when we reflect and it's time to pick up the pieces. Let's watch this last clip.
Banks said no?
Emphatically. Repeatedly.
I don't think there's a banker left in the country I can fool into loaning me more money, so. I'm really sorry to disappoint you all.
Don't worry, Barnum. We've gotten used to it by now.
You know, Barnum, when I first met you, I had an inheritance, a claim, an invitation to every party in town. And now, thanks to you, all that's gone. All that's left is friendship, love, and work that I adore. You brought joy into my life.
Into all our lives.
Here, here.
Money the bank would take joy as collateral.
They may not. But I will. I own 10% of the show. Knowing who I was working for, I had the good sense to take my cut weekly.
Philip, I can't let you gamble it on me.
Sure you can.
Don't turn sensible on us now.
Partners. 50-50.
Partners.
The only thing is, I don't know how we're going to afford a building.
Right. Building? We don't need a building. Real estate in Manhattan is a terrible investment. Why, I can get land down by the docks for almost nothing. All we need is a tent.
Maybe for some of you this morning, it's time to pick up the pieces. It's time to bring the joy back into this season of Christmas. One of the hardest things is, you know, we all go through the same seasons, right? It's Christmas, but we all have a different perspective on different seasons, right? For some of you, man, Christmas is amazing and you love everything about it. For some of you, it brings hurt. It brings heartache. It brings struggle. And I don't know where you're at in your journey with the Lord. But there's really just two things today as we close I want you to just to take with you. In this Christmas season, may we love different and may we live different. May we as City Hope Church, may we love different. I like that movie, and if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's a fantastic movie. But there at the end, the thing that really jumps out to me is all of those weird and unique people. They're literally sitting on the burnt rubble of a building. And at the end there, they tell Barnum, he said, "You brought joy to all of our lives." And as they're sitting on burnt rubble of a building, they start smiling and laughing and carrying on and having a good time. And that all started because he loved them. The reason why you and I can have the most wonderful time of the year, it all started with because Jesus loves us. And because he decided long ago, God decided, "I'm going to send my son to this earth so that Bobby can one day have joy. So that you can one day have joy. And all that mess, all the stuff that you've been through, I'm doing that because I love you. I'm doing that because I care." And Jesus came to this earth and he gave us the greatest movie. He gave us the greatest example of how to love different and how to live different and what happens when we do. So today, I want to just close our time together and just ask you. Is there somebody in your life that, when I talked about loving different, maybe it was a coworker, maybe it was a family member that God's put on your heart, and maybe this season, maybe this Christmas season is the time for you to love different, for you to love without borders, for you to love without boundaries. I don't like them. I disagree with everything they say. I shake my head at them. But maybe the way that this is the greatest season of Christmas in your life is that you love them without borders. Maybe there's people around you in your life that are waiting for you to live differently. Dad, maybe there's some children in your home that are waiting for you to live differently. God's given you a purpose. God's given you a lot of gifts, and they need you, Dad, to step into that purpose. And you've been fighting, the enemy's been fighting you, and you haven't stepped into it. And maybe the way that your family has the best Christmas ever that celebrates Jesus like never before is that you step into that purpose. And you stop trying to make excuses. You stop trying to get away from it. You remove some busyness out of your schedule. And say, "You know what, God? You put this in me, and I'm going to use it for you and for your glory." That doesn't just apply to dads. Moms, are you living out your purpose? Are you living differently in the way that God's put inside of you? Let me encourage you this morning. Let's love different and let's live different. I'm gonna ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're gonna conclude our time together. But before we do that, I wanna give you just a second to pray. Right there in your seat, whatever the Lord's speaking to your heart this morning, just take a moment. Father, you've brought to my heart this morning how much gratitude I have in my life for you sending Jesus. I was that outcast. I was that misfit. Thank you for sending Jesus for me, so that I can have joy, so that I can have deep peace. Lord, I just pray if there's one in this room today that feels like that social outcast, God, that feels like they're not like everybody else, I pray that today you would fill them up with your love, with your joy, with your peace. The one in this room who feels like I'm the biggest sinner, I keep struggling, I keep falling, God, help them to use today to get up one more time. Thank you for the reminder to love people the way that you love us. Lord, I know there's people in my life that are really hard to love. So remind me of the love you give me that gives me strength to go love them. Lord, I pray for the many in this room who don't know their purpose or they doubt their purpose. Maybe they know it and they're just not stepping into it. God, give us boldness. Give us courage to chase the dream that you've put in our hearts. Even when the enemy's fighting, even when we feel like the enemy's burned it to the ground, help us to live different. Lord, not so that we get glory, so that you and your son get the glory. Lord, may this truly be the greatest time of the year. May this truly be the time when we turn to you. We obey, we love, and we live differently. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.